I'm Joni De Winter.
And I am Susan Grant.
And we are Bell Street,
who are an events band and production company.
And we're here to talk to you about our fun and failures.
On our journey from being scared to doing it anyway.
Ta-da! We keep tweaking the intro slightly, don't we?
We do. We realised that the other day.
Yeah.
We were a theatre company for a while.
Yes, and now we're a production company. Mm. And suddenly, a guest said to us yesterday, in fact, why are you part of Bell Street?
Yeah.
And that's what we used to say, and we are part of Bell Street. Mm. But we are Bell Street.
Mm-hmm.
There's no Bell Street without us.
No. And he got quite cross with us, actually.
He did.
For not owning it. So we are owning that we are Bell Street.
We are Bell Street. Mm-hmm. B-E-L-L-E-S-T-R-E-E-T.
That's a good cheerleading routine. Yes. In itself.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
We'll work on that.
Okay.
Well, anyway.
Welcome.
Welcome back. Thank you for sticking with us and still listening to our podcast mm-hmm. on just doing it anyway. We hope you've been enjoying our guests so far. We have now, recording this, we've finished off all our guests. So
okay.
They're done with. Mm-hmm. So I'm really pleased with the interviews that we've done.
Yeah, we have met, we always, whenever we're talking to people, we meet brilliant people. But it's just, we just keep learning, keep hearing brilliant stories. And yeah, it's a really great thing to be able to do.
Yeah, we're not having to fake it. I know, that sounds really bad.
No, but we're not pretending.
No, it's great. Anyway, today we thought we'd talk about confidence. It's come up a lot in various discussions. Like before every rehearsal, Susan and I often just have like some kind of download or debrief. And then quite often before a podcast, we'll do the same thing. Mm-hmm. And just in life, this issue has kind of risen up. So we think it's good to just talk about those things because if the universe wants what the universe wants, doesn't it? You've got to give it to her.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So confidence.
Yes.
It is one of those things that's needed.
It is. And what we've been talking about a lot recently, which we'll touch on more probably in the interview next week,
mm-hmm.
Is that kind of everyone loses it for a little bit mm-hmm. in life, mentally, but also confidence.
Yeah.
Most people can point to a time in their life where they massively lost confidence. And most people, hopefully, can talk about where they found it again. What about you?
Well, it is something that is very, very, very easily
lost.
Lost, hurt, tarnished.
Knocked.
Knocked is probably the word I was originally going for, but yes, it, and it's also quite difficult to get it back once it has been knocked. But it also, when you've got confidence in something, it is an amazing feeling.
What do you think it means to have confidence then?
Well, we also talked about a very fine line between confidence and arrogance.
Mm.
But maybe you can have both. It's just how you deliver them. But a confidence in something just, well, for me, it makes my body feel good. It makes my brain feel good. It makes me not feel all the horrible, insecure things that I feel most of the time.
Yeah, like here. Here and here.
Yeah.
And if you don't have confidence, that feeling is there, isn't it?
Yeah. Oh, and yeah. For those that can't see us,
oh, yes.
We're pointing to the heart,
the gut.
The gut, the core, and of course your head that is mulling all these things over all of the time. But when you know you're on the right path, when you know that actually what you're doing is what you're supposed to be doing, I think you can feel it in your cells. You shine better.
You can, Well, I don't know, actually. I was going to say, you can tell when someone's faking confidence, but can you? Because a lot of people talk about, and I think we've talked about it, just being the confident person you would like to be, doing the body language, and then you slowly become it. Do you think that people can see through in inauthentic confidence?
I think it depends.
I'm really interviewing you.
You are. I suddenly really felt very interviewed.
It means I don't have to think about the answer.
But I do it depends how inauthentic you're being with it. I mean, we fake a lot of confidence.
Yes. Absolutely. We come across as, I believe people see us as very confident people, if unless you know as well, I think.
What were you like at school? And in performance, like, because, I mean, we'll go from a performance vibe because that's what we do. So,
yeah. Awful. Like, not confident.
Oh, okay.
Just not an awful person. Awful person, depending on who you talk to. No, at school, I was confident, and we changed location when I was about 11 from a town, a bit like Shaftesbury, in Yorkshire, to a city in Liverpool. And that knocked the confidence out of me. Before that, I was doing my shows in my living room that we always talk about. And I was confident, and I never considered that people might be thinking things about me. And then I moved somewhere new, and it knocked. And my dad said to me once, your personality completely changed. And I just wasn't confident. Like, in terms of, like, I wouldn't audition for things. I wouldn't have put myself forward for anything, apart from in a safe space, which I've kind of always learned to make for myself as a safe space, which is what I've done with Shaftesbury. But, and I was very heavily involved in church when I was a teenager. And so in church, I created a safe space for myself. And in that space, I was very confident, and I ran, like, I didn't run. I ran dance, like, outreach groups and acting, and I organised gigs and performances and stuff. So in that space, I was really confident. But in a space like school, with my peers, I wasn't a confident person at all. And I wasn't in any of the school plays. I wasn't in any of that. And then when I was a bit older, a teenager, and I went to my year out performing arts thing, that fully finished off the confidence in me, really, in terms of expectations on what your body shape should be, how you should look, how you should behave. Really finished me off, to be honest. Although it gave me a lot of performance skills.
Yes.
Confidence wise, that was gone. So that's what I was like when I was younger. Yeah. What were you like?
I was painfully shy, really. But again, I was involved with the church choir, and again, I had a safe space of people. But my mum pushed me, I think. She wasn't a pushy mother, but she did make sure I got up on stage and did my solos, bit of Ave Maria here and there. Yeah. But I didn't have any confidence in myself to be any more than I was,
yeah,
I guess, even though I loved performing. And then school, I just felt like nobody.
But you did then go into performing.
Well, then I went to college.
Yeah.
And I felt as if I'd found myself completely, and the people I was around, and I was dancing, and I was going to be a contemporary dancer. That was it. Bam. I had the company I was going to work for. I had a brilliant tutor. It was a really good time. Had a good set of friends. Had support, you know, and then I went to university, and and the confidence went, because I was told, like you were just saying, I wasn't good enough. I wasn't this. I wasn't. No, my tutors didn't even know my name by the end of the third year.
Right.
You know, like, and one of our other guests is someone I went to university with, and we had very different experiences, but I think we both feel the same with, actually, we were let down by just being let go. Because we weren't quite at the standard that they wanted us.
What do you mean, let go? But at the end of your course?
Or well, there just wasn't enough support, maybe.
Yeah.
But I think courses are difficult because you expect so much. Because you pay so much.
You want to be, you want to be like nurtured and mentored and you want it to be like, you want attention, don't you? And you want, you need that individual input and it's really hard to get it.
And I was really lucky. I mean, I had a great time, really great time at university and met some amazing people there. But I didn't do very well because I always wanted to creatively create something a bit different.
Yeah.
And we've talked about this in different circumstances. Actually, you are penalised for that because you should be following a structure.
Even in creative sectors.
Yes.
Which is hilarious.
Yeah. From university, I got my first job. Touring with Children's Theatre Company. I didn't speak to the cast. I was there for 3 months and I hardly spoke a word to them because I was so frightened. I was so intimidated by having a job. I spoke on stage.
Well, that's the main thing.
Yeah. But it built and it went on and I gained my confidence and whatever. But it's just so, you really can be really put down very easily by someone making you feel not enough.
Yeah. But isn't it interesting to, like, in both of our experiences, that the well, this is obviously our younger years, but I think it would probably apply to now, is the benefit in surrounding yourself with people who, like you said about college, like I created a safe space for myself, going forward, like, then maybe a good thing to advise people to do is build up that network of people who, what did, I know we, when we interviewed Coda, who you will have heard a week or so ago, and Mark talked about being on the TV show and finally finding his tribe. Yeah. And so he felt really confident. And we talked before about finding your tribe. I think that that's definitely a key to, building up your confidence at least. So where do you feel your confidence is at the minute? We've skipped, like, how long ago were you in that theatre, your first theatre company
job? You're asking my age.
I know your age.
So that was 25 years ago.
Yeah.
And I decided I was going to be a performer of, well, of some sort. I think back now, I had quite a few jobs here and there, but I used to take myself off to auditions with all these other girls at 6 o'clock in the morning to Pineapple Studios and queue with my CV. You know, it was all paper back then, you know, and your CD even.
We listened to your CD the other day. It was brilliant listening.
My demo, yeah.
I think you should re-release it. I enjoyed it.
But I just kept putting myself out there and being knocked back. And I'd go for things I knew I wasn't going to get and be good for experience.
But do you think that was good because of the people you were around? And they were all doing it?
Yeah,
Or were you doing it quite solo? Were you around a tribe?
No, I was very solo.
Okay.
But you bump into all the same people at the auditions. And I then started working in London in a box office and front of house where actually everyone was also doing the same thing. So then you get the camaraderie of everyone, as long as no one looks the same or is going for the same job.
Okay.
But that was quite a nice environment. So that was quite a safe space because I was with these people who were all desperately searching for the same thing.
Yeah.
And now I go, oh, that's really great. They're doing that and they're doing that. And, you know, I'm doing this.
I bet they think the same thing about you.
Yeah, good. I hope they do.
Look at all the creative freedom you have in your job.
Yes, there is. Yes. No one tells us what to do.
Yeah. Because both of us kind of did that younger and then had kids. Do you think that having kids knocks the confidence out of you a bit or not? Because I think in some ways it can be very empowering, creating life and all that. Creating life, and it's a real privilege. But in some ways, I definitely lost myself quite a bit when I was having kids. I don't know if that's about identity or confidence, really, but I guess they're all linked.
Absolutely. Yes. It depends on where you are. If you're in a run of performing, you're an actress, you're in shows, you have a baby, and that's your job, I can imagine you have a bit of time and you go back into it because that is your tribe, that's your place. But I remember coming out and being ready to sort of nest and coming away from creative things. I was doing a little bit of this and that. And actually, when I went back in, I was trying to get extra work, but they actually wanted babies. So I put Henry up for a lot more than I was. But you are not seen as the same person for a while. And I think maybe out of the nurturing, the protection as a mother, we go into that. But it's hard. It's a hard space. It's a wonderful space. But when I look back, and I do remember, I did baby classes for a long time. And then when we moved here, deciding to go down to Shaftesbury Arts Centre and maybe be involved with the pantomime.
Mm. Professional Susan.
Yeah. Professional Susan. People say, "Ooh, you're a professional."
Here comes Susan. It's almost a musical. She's been on the ships. Here she comes.
The professional in what? I don't know.
I don't know. I didn't know you.
No. But I remember doing that show and just having a ball and just suddenly being this person.
Yeah.
And I remember my mum coming up to the bar afterwards and talking, and she was like, "Ah, there you are."
Ah.
You know, and like suddenly I was this different part of me was unleashed, which probably was not a good thing, really.
Well, I think it's an excellent thing. It's just, you know, things can't stay the same, can they, when that happens? Obviously, you become a mum and all of those things we just talked about, but there's definitely a point with me where I saw my kids begin to lose confidence, and it awakens like a "you will not have the same as I did" sort of feeling. And then it makes you revisit all the things that knocked your confidence when you were little. Mm-hmm. Definitely with my daughter specifically, and then actually sometimes my sons, but my daughters kind of were more involved in performing arts, so I related more to their experiences in that way. But watching their confidence get knocked or similar situations happen to them that knock their confidence, it almost snaps you back to, right, that happened to me. How can I help that not happen to my kid without being some kind of crazy tiger mum? That was definitely one of the things that began to waken me up, I think, is seeing my daughters be really confident and then not. Divorce woke me up as well a bit. Because it's, I think a change of situation can make you reassess and relook around and think, hang on, where are all my people like that I can relate to? And I suddenly realised I didn't have a tribe, and I went out and found one.
Well, you also have to do everything on your own.
Yes.
Including give your children confidence.
Yeah. Yeah.
On your own.
Display confidence to your kids, because they're watching you and mirroring.
Okay.
You all the time.
Yeah.
Aren't they? And so you're showing them what a woman is. You're showing them what a confident person is, you hope. Yeah, you are being a role model.
But this is very much, I can't remember if it's one of the podcasts that we listen to, but certainly I've heard this a lot, where people say, what do you want your children to see you as? And I think, actually, I don't want my children to see me, not at the moment, but in the past, as what I have been, where I'm busting a gut to please everybody and not getting any reward. Mm. I'm busting a gut to do jobs that just pay me minimum stuff. And I'm late all the time because I'm trying to be here, there and everywhere. And actually there is no, there's no value in what I'm doing because you end up doing nothing very well. Mm. And I think for me, personally, losing my mum was a massive wake-up call because she was only 70 and it was quite sudden. And it's like, oh, right. And I relied on her for so much. Mm. And I relied on my dad for so much. And although he's still here and he's brilliant, he's lost his confidence since losing her. So I've had to sort of step up. So we're constantly becoming these different people. And we were talking with one of our guests yesterday who said, you know, as you get older, you care less, which is very true. Without being arrogant, we do have to step up and care a bit less and think about what other people think. If we're being authentic, that's fine. I remember being at university and the singing teacher I had there, I'd been brought up with sort of musical theatre and light opera, and I remember her saying to me, well, you'll never have a belt. And for anyone that doesn't know that, a belt, not a belt, but a belt voice, a chest voice, a storytelling voice that everyone hears in musical theatre or pop singers. My voice was very much sort of a light opera voice, a choral voice. And she told me that I would never be able to sing any differently, which then put me in a bracket. I was only auditioning for these things that I thought I could do.
That's so funny because the Susan I know wouldn't take that.
I know. So I know funny. For years I was just this. And so, and I think that came out a bit when we were writing Hugh the Musical.
Yeah.
Because I was like, I want to sound like Bonnie Tyler. What?
She can't belt. But she can, yeah. And that song you sing in Hugh the Musical, Glowfire, is a real like anthem. Mm. Like we want to keep it somehow, don't
we?
In our repertoire, because it's a real like voice is brilliant.
But even when we wrote that, the words are: "Is this me? Is this all I've got?" You know, I wish I could remember all the words.
You never could.
No.
There was a different version of one of the verses every time.
My path is unwritten, but my story is told.
Untold.
Yeah. Yeah, but yes, it is. It's funny what sticks with you. You think, hold on, how dare you have spoken to me like that and told me I couldn't.
But how dare she
do that?
Different world, though, isn't it? I think.
Yeah.
The even the teaching, creative teaching world has shifted.
Mm.
I would like to think.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I remember, I was offered a monetary reward for to lose weight.
What?
I know. So I was already a size 12, which for me is, you know, small. This is oversharing, isn't it? But for me is that's me sad or a teenager. Like I have to be very sad to be a size 12. And they were like, do you think, you know, we could get you down to a size 10 if we promise to buy you a new outfit? Can you do that for us? And I was like, yes. Which, you know, now... Well, if someone said that to one of my daughters, I would gut them.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not a thing. I think they thought they were doing the right thing. It was actually a religious performing arts school. So you'd think it would be different, but it wasn't. And their main goal was to be as good as any secular training, which, you know, their training things were quite high. But that I thought that was really messed up.
Yeah.
Well, the whole... Because, so, and the two people who were saying it to me were just naturally very twiggy.
Yeah.
So for them, that's almost like a mental... And it was, it was just past the 90s where, you know, everyone needed to be kind of that heroin chic.
Yeah.
Bridget Jones was obese and things like that.
Yeah.
And that really affected me.
But it is... The industry is so exhausting. I think there's been so much change.
Yes, there has.
I've seen that. I remember being... on the cruise ship and I was so I mean, I was so scared again. That was me.
But you did speak to people. That was, I've heard the stories.
Imposter syndrome at its best. Oh my goodness. Once I got my groove, I had a brilliant time and I was in that safe space.
Yes.
I mean, I ran decoits. And
you ran what?
Decoits.
Decoits.
You have to like throw a round rope onto a like square thing and get a point.
Oh.
Yeah. I mean, okay. I was in my sports shorts. This wasn't just me in tassels.
No,
and
bowlers. Well, that's like me teaching water skiing, which I also did. Who are these women?
I was also a librarian there.
Wow.
Yeah. I would turn up on the first night, probably told this already, with...
You've never told me you're a librarian on a cruise ship. That's so random.
I turn up for the welcome. For the welcome evening, all the passengers would come in. Two shows of welcome in... sequins, feathers, like mesh leotards with very little, you know, I was covered, but there was a lot of sequins. And the following morning, I'd be in my uniform in the library with no makeup on. And people would go, "Ooh, have you always wanted to be a librarian?" It's like, no. And they'd say, "I've seen you somewhere before." I'm like,
"Yeah, you've seen a lot of me somewhere."
So how funny. It was a mixed bag. Great time. But when I left that, I was very confident. And I had been out in Libya and Egypt and had a brilliant tan for me.
I can't imagine you with a tan.
All my freckles had joined together.
Oh, wow. So nice.
And I was in good shape and I was like, yeah, here we go. And I went for auditions and they all told me I had to lose weight.
Really?
Big cruise ships, liners, you know. And or I was That's nuts, or I was that. And immediately you're like, oh.
Back to kind of the rejection.
And then one ship did contact me and asked me if I wanted to be sports ambassador.
Oh. They'd obviously heard about your...
Decoits.
It sounds like hemorrhoids.
And like bull, you know, but bulls. That's difficult to do on a ship.
I think if you're going on a cruise, you don't want to be paying to throw a rope at a bit of...
Like the time I forgot to lock all the library cupboards and the ship moved and all the books fell out.
Oh dear.
I had to alphabetise all of them. But I am no sports ambassador.
Now, in the situation we're in now, if you have a crisis of confidence, what's it about normally?
Well, we had a recent photo shoot and we had to sit there for a minute today before we could even open the file.
We really had to build up the courage. And we've told the story many times about our original photo shoot, but it's... Photo shoots are just soul-destroying. And we work with lovely photographers. It's not them.
It's not them.
And I convinced myself I look like Michael Ball. not in the good days. Yes, photo shoots are a tough one. You're faced with your mortality right there, aren't you?
It is linked, yeah. I mean, I still have massive issues about my voice and the way I sound and the way I would like to sound.
Yeah.
But I also know it's a muscle. And that actually it can be trained. And so I have to talk my way around that. And also, I'm never going to sound like somebody else if I can't do it. It is a muscle. I'm never going to be a sprinter.
Full stop.
Good. So my voice will only, it will only do what it can do, but I can further it.
Yeah.
My body and my look... could be a lot better if I put a bit of effort into it. But also, as you get older, does it matter? As long as I brush my hair.
Well, the thing is, when you put yourself out as a product, it kind of has to matter, doesn't it? How you present yourself does matter. I always think you look stunning.
Well, thanks. I don't think you look like Michael Ball.
Well, that's all we need in life, isn't it? That's what true friendships are built on. Mine, definitely, I just hear old voices in my head, not like old voices, voices from of old.
Mm-hmm.
And just, you know, the kind of idea that, I don't know, I think if I'm having a crisis of confidence, it's normally about my body or that I don't belong because I haven't had the training.
Okay.
That's another thing for me. But I have... had a lot of experience now.
Sure.
I read a book
Well done.
I did. But I'm sure you've read it too. It was either in Big Magic or it was in the other one that we both read that was quite similar.
Untamed? No?
Yeah.
Okay.
I think it was in Big Magic. And she does a whole chapter on... who's that by, Big Magic?
Elizabeth Gilbert.
She does a whole chapter on should you go to university and get a degree in something? Should you go and spend years training in something in a creative situation? And she's like, if you've got the time and money, sure, do it. But she's, if for any reason you haven't, don't. Because what's more important in those situations is experience and building up and just step by step building the experience and the skills, teaching yourself as you go along. Mm-hmm. But I love a course, so I would have loved to have gone and done theatre studies, and I just didn't have the confidence to audition for it.
But then once I came out of university, I didn't have the confidence to go and do a further year in drama school, which a lot of my friends did, and I probably should have done that.
Mm.
But I almost felt I wasn't good enough to even go and do that. And that, talking to somebody else, it's like, what if you don't get in? Well, the whole point is that you're building that.
Yeah.
But something came up the other day and we were talking about something, applying for something, and you said about being not, they want professional actors.
Yeah.
And because I can see this with you because I recognise it. And I was like, but you are a professional. Mm. This is our job. We've created theatre. We have a production stroke theatre company.
We do. We do.
I know. What does Alice say? If you think you are it, you are it.
Yeah. Yeah.
But you can't help the voices in your head.
Well, that's a positive note. We can't end on that. I guess the tips for finding confidence, and they're probably things we've said before, but I think really a key thing is this whole find people.
Yeah. Do you know what, actually, if you've got time, write it down. I think journaling or photos or something, take yourself back to somewhere that you can look at and go, or a program or a poster, or and go, I did that.
Mm.
I mean, I think about all the things that I have done in the past. I think, did I do that?
Yeah.
I did, actually. I put myself out there and I did it.
Yeah.
But I forget about it daily.
So, like, record the achievements that you do. So that, well, yes, because they talk about whoever they are, building up evidence to support your beliefs about yourself.
Mm.
And the more evidence you build up to support the fact that, for example, I am an actor,
mm-hmm.
or I'm a professional.
Mm-hmm.
I can go back and say, I've done this. Mm. Remember when I did this? Look at this, I did this. And so I can kind of give myself the evidence that I am. Yeah, that's a good tip.
Yeah. Get it on paper or on screen or something that you can listen to. Or maybe you need to go and audition for something in a different town or move to a different town. So that everyone can go.
Get rid of me.
But everyone can go, it's Joni the professional.
Yeah. Any other tips to go with confidence? I mean, I think the standing and living like the person and acting like the person you want to be,
mm-hmm.
you slowly become that person.
Mm.
As long as you're keeping that authenticity mm-hmm. of... well, how do you do that though? Keep the authenticity whilst. Is it just about knowing yourself that you're not? I don't know.
Yeah.
Where's the balance?
Well, it's trusting, feeling it in your gut, feeling it in your. I believe very much that you feel it in your cells, your body will work with you. And you know if you're not in the right place, and that's when you want to leave.
Yes.
Really leave. Not just because you feel a bit awkward.
Yeah.
So standing in your own power and thinking, okay, shoulders back.
Yeah.
Breathe. People forget to breathe.
Yes. Oh, because I don't think we said this on a podcast, but I did say it to you. Yeah. Hannah.
Yeah.
Waddington.
Waddington.
You know that.
can't think of
brilliant it. Presenter and actor, blonde, very tall, Hannah. Hannah W, we call her, because we're friends with her.
Yeah.
I was listening to a really quick interview with her the other day, and she's obviously very tall.
Waddingham.
Oh, Waddingham, mm. Hannah Waddingham. And she's obviously very tall, and as we are. And I bet she was the narrator, and I bet she was never Mary in the Nativity. And she said, before she goes into a room where she's going to feel intimidated or professionally, or, you know, there's going to be expectations on her, instead of kind of letting herself feel small, she makes herself as big as possible. And she like looks in the mirror and she makes herself big, and she breathes and she stands straight, and she's like, be as big as possible. Don't take up less space. Mm-hmm. Be as big as possible. And then she walks into a room. And that really stuck with me, because I thought, so often we try and shrink ourselves because of our own beliefs about ourselves or things we've heard other people say about ourselves. But if you take a deep breath, make yourself big and walk in as big as you can and take up space as the brilliant human that you are, then that's going to make a massive difference.
Yeah. And people are always going to have an opinion, and they're always going to say something. And unfortunately, when we're dealing with people that we look to for guidance, help, whether it's a lecturer or a guru of some sort.
Is he a guru?
A guru, yeah.
Okay.
I can't think of one at the moment. But we look to people, and maybe if they're not in the right space, they give us something that we don't need.
And it knocks you back.
And we take it on, and that's their stuff.
Yeah.
But it's really hard to understand that.
Mm.
So, be kind. Remember, someone's listening to everything you say.
Yeah. Yes, absolutely. You're shaping someone's future. Because you do remember the kind things people say to you as well.
Mm-hmm.
Randomly out of the blue, although I can't think of one right now. But you do remember, don't you?
Well, Pete told us we were fuck off fabulous.
Yeah, and we've not let go of that, have we?
No. I've heard him call other people extremely rude words and mean it.
And not in a complimentary way.
No.
No.
No. So, you know, be fuck off fabulous because you are.
And just
do it anyway. Well done us.
That was a therapy session.
That was
it? Sorry. I don't know where that
Welcome
came from.
To our lives.
Will anyone be interested in that? I don't know. Anyway, we're more healed at the end of that. So that's the main thing.
I have confidence and sunshine.